Let's go to our main man, Mike Gill, joining us now on Birds 365. Mike, welcome to the show, man. How you doing on this Wednesday morning? A crazy couple of days to start the week, Mike.
I haven't been traded yet.
Well, they're looking to save some cash, so you might have to go, Mike, but we'll see. But
you're, I've been giving people discounts for way too long, man. No way. Yeah.
All right, your first reaction. Are you trying to talk people off the bridge, or are you trying to, you know, let them say, hey, jump, this is a disaster. Where's Mike Gill?
I kind of, like, it's not surprising. I mean, the two guys that got so much money that I don't think anybody's saying, why didn't you match that, right? No one's saying you should have paid Milton Williams $26 million, and no one thought you should brought Sweat back for that number. Now, the other guys, Isaiah Rodgers. Okay. This one's interesting because there's a lot of weird reporting about Slay. He's going to get released today at 4. Is he going to another team? He said he only wants to play for Pittsburgh or Philly. Now there's another team being mentioned. The Chauncey Gardner-Johnson thing. Many people wondering if this is a money thing. Did his kind of Twitter fingers get him in trouble? Was Slay involved in that now that Chauncey's gone? Is it a possibility that Slay comes back? They probably would like to have brought Rodgers back if they lost Slay. He goes. So that one's interesting. So what happens at corner? Is it Ringo? Is it Cooper? Do they get Slay back? That story, I think, will be one that will be kind of dancing around all summer long. The Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, I think, comes out of right field. They don't save a lot of money right now, so people are saying, then why get rid of them now? Fine, next year, the year after, or the year after that, you're going to save some money, but why not keep them for this year? So that one's a little interesting. Apparently, they were in on Jordan Reed and willing to give him some real money. So does that say there was another reason why they wanted to get rid of Chauncey?
Yes, yes, it does.
So that one, I think, adds some intrigue to the mix because it wasn't like they were trying to get Jordan Reed on the cheap. He got paid legit money. The Gainwell, I don't know if that's official yet, but all of these have their own little stories. And I think the story is kind of tied to, you know, in 2017, they won the Super Bowl, and then they signed back a lot of players. And then a couple years later, they kind of admit it, like, we did some things that we normally wouldn't do because we kind of got sentimental to those players. The weird part about this is the guys that they let walk are all young. It's not like they had a decision on like a 30-year-old guy and we're like, we got to move on from this guy. You know, Isaiah Rodgers, a young player. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's a young player. Oren Burks, maybe the oldest guy of that group there. Gainwell. These are all guys that are still in their prime years. And then the Eagles said, we got to move on. And I think what they're really saying is at one point, all those guys replaced somebody and they've all worked out. We have to trust who we've drafted to now take their place at a cheaper cost. And you just outlined it, John, right before I came on. I said this on my show yesterday. Every guy that's not here has an in-house guy that they drafted that they think is ready to walk into the next spot. Gainwell's out, Shipley in. Milton Williams out, Ojomo in. Sweat out, Hunt in. Ringo in for Slay. Sidney Brown in for Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Jeremiah Trotter in for Oren Burks. And I think they're just saying, look, we got to trust our scouting department and hope that we made the right decisions in the draft because we've done it before.
Mike, I got to ask you though. I mean, that's all great, and I think it's you're right. By the way, but we'll see how those guys play. But this team just had the number one defense in the NFL. This team just locked down Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid in the biggest game of the year in the Super Bowl. Arguably, maybe not. Arguably, the number one Eagles defense in history. And you lose Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, Darius Slay, Oren Burks, and Isaiah Rodgers. All right, what does this mean for this defense going forward? I'm with you. These young guys got to play better, but it's hard to not feel like a regression to some at some level is coming. You're to right. This defense. How do you see it, Mike?
You're right. I mean, there's no way you could sit here right now and say that you're a better team than that walked off the field. There's just no way. I mean, Mauro Adjomo is not going to be better than Milton Williams, at least today. I mean, at the end of the year, we might look back and say, I mean, who thought Milton Williams was getting a $26 million deal 4 years ago? Nobody. Not right now.
I got shit on for saying he'd get $20 million right away.
Did, John.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Javon Kinlaw signed, I guess, earlier that day, and my producer said, holy mackerel, he got, I forget the amount. What did he get, $20
million? 15, Kinlaw? 15. I think 345.
And he said, do you think.
Yeah, that's a bad signing, by the way.
Do you think Milton Williams is going to get in that range? I said, oh, he's getting way more. If that's what Kinlaw got. I said, over 20, if that's the number for him. And then, I don't know if you guys saw, originally, he was going to Carolina.
Carolina,
and what Schefter said was, it's going to be over 20 million. Over 20 million and 26 million, that's a different ballpark, man. Yeah. I mean, they must have came in, the Patriots, and just said, you're getting 22? Fine, we'll give you 26. You can't turn around. You got to, you know, a Mark Cuban deal here. You got to say yes right now. Right. And he's like, all right, 26 million. What am I going to do? So that deal was crazy to see. But like Adjomo, you know, no, he's not better than Milton Williams. Jalix Hunt today is not better than Josh Sweat. You know, the safety spot, Sidney Brown is not better than Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Kaylee Ringo is not better. So, no, they are not better today. No way, no how. But I guess in their mind, they're also factoring in how much better Jalen Carter is going to be, how much better Quinyon Mitchell is going to be, how much better Cooper DeJean is going to be, how much better Zach Bond is going to be. So you got to put that on one side with the guys that are not going to be as good on the other side and hope that it marries and meshes.
Part of it is, too, you mentioned they're obviously, and you're correct, you listed all the names, they're not going to be as good on defense on paper, certainly, and it doesn't matter because we're March 12th, but they're not going to play a game, I don't think, tomorrow, so things are going to be added, they're going to draft some pieces as well, but it's hard to imagine just in general, if they ran this back, Mike Gill, what are the odds that they would have as good a defense as they had last year? If they ran it back with the exact same crew.
Listen, I think a lot of that kind of rings to what happened in the past is they stuck and brought back very similar teams, and you're just not as good that second year, right? You got to make changes. You can't stick to your laurels. Everyone, look, Washington has made a ton of changes. Now, Washington in the past has won free agency, and nothing happens there. There's a lot of teams that win the first day of free agency,
Chicago
from them again. But a lot of times those teams are a bad team that gets aggressive. And then we all think the bad team is going to turn into a good team. All of a sudden, Washington's a good team that went to the NFC Championship game and said, we think we're close. Let's take another step. Now, is it going to work out for them? Who knows? But
and then they proceeded to make a bunch of crappy moves. By the way, I don't like anything Washington did really.
That doesn't mean right. Exactly. Doesn't mean, but my point is if you stay the same, everyone's changing to come after you. So whether you think sticking with the same exact group of guys, like let's say this question, let me ask it this way. If they took away Milton Williams, Josh Sweat, but brought back Oren Burks, Isaiah Rogers, and Chauncey Gardner-Johnson doesn't get traded, are we like, this defense is still really good? Or is it because, you know, Williams and Sweat, that's four sacks in that game and a lot of pressures from those two guys.
I know.
That
I
make know. That game what it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I still feel like, and maybe this is my eagle glasses, but I still feel like the team is good because they've identified their John, what was the word you used? Their foundational pieces, and their foundational pieces are so damn good. So other teams make roster moves like this. And their roster is not as good. So they're like, okay, goodbye to that player. The Eagles roster is so good that when you cut or move on from the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th best player on the defense, Eagle fans are like, holy shit, we just got rid of a really good player. But I really think the whole roster is just better. So when you move on from a guy like CJ, it hurts a little bit more, but you had to do it. And you still have guys like Carter, Davis, Adjomo, you know, Zach Bond, the safe Reed, Quinyon Cooper, your foundation's there.
one of the things that gets lost in the sauce is Milton Williams makes a $26 million a year, in part because he's playing next to Jalen Carter. Agreed. So I don't know that he's going to be afforded the same options playing in New England. Now, they've beefed up their defense as well. They've got a good, you know, defensive mind in Mike Vrabel coaching that team, so they should be better defensively. You know, but what does that mean for the guy that plays next to Carter this time, you know, next year, Mauro Ajomo? Thomas Booker, I think, is a guy that gets more snaps and flashed a little bit. I thought he played – I feel like he played so little – but I remember his number making plays more than almost any other random. Yeah, I mean, Thomas, it felt like he was always making a play in the backfield or something. Now, I don't know if he's even a guy that they want to give more snaps to, but they signed Gabe Hall. Keep that in mind. He was a third round pick. He was signed off the Raider practice squad. And, you know, the Eagles kind of stashed a bunch of these former high picks. And no one heard about Lewis Scenes, another guy who was a first-round pick at safety. People don't remember. That was way late in the year. He actually – wasn't he active for the Super Bowl?
He wasn't active, but he was on the roster. He was on
He was on the roster, but he's another Georgia guy who was a first-round pick. He had a real bad leg injury. That was like 3 years ago. So here he is now. I mean, is he another guy that they signed off a practice squad? And those are the guys that we talk about in free agency now that I think you're looking at is the guy who was the high draft pick who had some injury issues. That's why they make this trade yesterday. Hey, you get a first-round guy. He was the 15th pick in the draft. Let's try to get some talent in our building because we trust our process, our coaches, that we can get more out of these guys than the other team can. So that's where this team is kind of at right now with – they don't want to be complacent. How do you take that next step? We find some talented players, get them into our situation, and hope that gets more. Becton was a guy last year. They brought him in. He was pretty much a bust with the Jets. A lot of that was injury-related. They had the foresight to try him out at guard, where he was a tackle before, and here we go. Now, I don't know what Becton's story is going to be. Maybe he's back, but if he's not, I think the Eagles feel like, hey, we just found another guy that we can kind of – and, you know, on our show yesterday, we asked the question, is it fair to just always assume that Jeff Stoutland's going to get a guy and make him something? Is that always fair? I don't know if it's fair, but we just assume, right? We just assume that he is – going to be able to get what this kid has not been able to get out of him.
Well, it's Jeff is going to get the most out. That's how I kind of look at it. The most out of just about anybody, but you know, Andre Dillard exists. So no, he's not going to make something out of nothing. So it's no guarantee, but you bring up that.
There ever been though, another offensive lineman. Dillard was, he had a rough, I think we all remember Dillard from that one night, and then he kind of settled in at left tackle. He wasn't great, but that one night that he played right guard, a right tackle, he was horrendous. And
yeah, he was
totally remembered for that one night. Now, he did sign a deal to Tennessee and has not been very good there.
Either. No. Well, but, he was cut. He was on Green Bay last year.
Well, I'm saying when he left here originally, right? He went to Tennessee.
Yeah, he went to Tennessee on a big deal. Yeah.
It's funny, though, like they've had guys, Nate Herbig and Jack Driscoll, who many of these guys, like you're like, they have no business playing in this league. And yet they're starting on this team and you're winning games with them. It's wild. Yeah.
You mentioned that 2022 draft. That was Jordan Davis's draft. So he was 13th overall. Kenyon Green was 15th. Jahan Dotson.
A&M, man. He was a big dude.
Yeah. Jahan Dotson was 16th. They got him. Kenny Pickett was 20th. They got him, although traded him, obviously. And Lewis Cine was 32nd. So they've had 5 first-round picks from that year run through already. And obviously, with the case of Kenyon Green, I got to tell you, boy, he played poorly in Houston. So that's one of those things where I saw a lot of people assume that they're bringing him to start at right guard. No, he'll compete. He'll get an opportunity, but no.
But I think you said this on my show yesterday, and I agree, John, which is You know, they don't want to hand guys anything. You don't want to just say, Tyler Steen, it's your job now. No, it was his job last year, and he didn't win the job. He lost that job to Becton. So I think it's the same situation. Tyler, you might be the guy going into camp, but you need to beat this kid out. So, you know, that's what they constantly keep trying to do is, if we don't have the player who's better, let's make him better by making him compete for the job.
Yeah. You know, I think you saw it last year with Devin White. It was like, you know, all right, they came in and said the year prior, they pretty much handed the job to N'Kobe Dean and it didn't work out well, injuries, but even before the injuries, he wasn't playing well. And they said, you know, the whole time they were damn well hoping that N'Kobe would seize the job, and ultimately he did, but they always want to bring in that competition. So you might see, because, and I bring up Justin Simmons because so many people wanted him last year and they wanted to spend big money to get him. Now they can get him for a one-year deal.
Yeah.
He's out there talking with Pat Leonard about how he wants to come to Philadelphia to reunite with Vic Fangio. You can get him on the cheap. And you know what? You'll be all excited, and Sidney Brown might go beat him out in training camp. That's that, but that's what the Eagles want to
create.
Devin
White. Devin White, right?
Exactly. That's what they want to create.
Yeah, and you know, the Justin Reed stuff, you know, the fact that they were reportedly in the mix for him does add to maybe they are looking at a safety to compete with those guys back there, Tristan McCollum, Lewis Cine.
Well, if they would have signed Justin Reed, it would have been different because that would have been multi-years. Like, he would have been brought in to be the starter. But now you're at the level of free agency where you're talking about one-year guys, basically.
Yeah.
There might be a couple two-year contracts.
Well, let me ask you this. Bosa, who I was not a big fan of, but 1 year, $12.5 million. Because that kind of profiles as the player that they take a shot on. Injury history, a lot of talent, one-year deal, prove it to us here, try to come and win. The fact that he gets 1 year, $12.5 million, is that saying they had no interest? Or is that kind of saying they don't have the money?
I don't think they wanted to go that high. It's not that they don't have the money. It's again, they're being very disciplined because what's coming down the road. Well, that's what I mean,
is that they're being that cost conscious.
Yeah, they're being,
not that they don't have the money, but they're being that cost conscious that even for a player that kind of fits, you agree that that would fit though? Like
they need an edge rusher. Yeah. They need to bring in, I've been on Azeez Ojulari, you know, for a couple of reasons.
That's who I brought up yesterday as well. I was going to throw him at you next because to me, he's the kind of guy, young, second round pick. He's been productive, but the injuries, can you get him on kind of like a $7, $8 million a year? Now you have him at a controllable number.
I think he can. And that to me is the guy. And then the older guys, I think that's for later in the summer if you can't get something done in the draft. And then you'll see. Last year, people forget. Look, they went into that draft. I say it all the time. There were so many. It was such a great offensive line draft. And there were so many guys that had tackle guard versatility that the Eagles went in with the plan of, all right, we'll start this guy, Troy Potano. We'll start him at right guard, kick him out the right tackle whenever Lane Johnson, if he ever drops off, he's playing at such a high level. So it keeps going and going and going, similar to Jason Kelce. And when they couldn't get him, they shifted gears because they were all off. All of those guard tackle guys were off the board. He went number 20. And then they shifted to Quinyon Mitchell, which worked out pretty well. So nobody's complaining about it. But 2 days later, the point is, Mekhi Becton showed up. They didn't sign Mekhi Becton until after the draft because they wanted that presence, somebody who could back up a tackle but also play guard if needed. And they went about it a different – I always talk about contingencies with Howie. That was the contingency. And you know it. You know the plan because of how quickly it happened. All of a sudden, he pops up. As soon as the draft's over, they're not able to get that player in the draft. They went out and got Mekhi Becton. So, you know, Howie mentions that all the time. First 2 days, you can keep adding play. Chris Long was added late before Super Bowl 52. LeGarrette Blount was added late. They were May players, I believe.
And to be honest, like the way everything's going, how cost conscious they've been, it almost seems like it makes no sense to bring Becton back unless you thought he was significantly better than Steen, and or you have no confidence in Green. Because, you know, when Steen played last year, I know he had a rough Super Bowl, but for the most part, he played a lot last year. I mean, he was constantly in at right guard, you know, for series at left when Dickerson went down. He had a start at left guard in the championship game when Dickerson played center. And quite frankly, you didn't really notice he was out there all that much other than the Super Bowl night where he got pushed around a little bit. But can you say, hey, we're fine with Tyler Steen and we don't have to spend any money to fill that position either?
I'm thinking that's where they might end up based on the way John explained it very thoroughly in the opening segment.
Yeah, I mean, I think the longer Mekhi's out there, it's better for the Eagles.
Right.
Obviously, he's not going to get a major deal, whether it's the knee, whether it's the positional concern from other organizations. I think the longer he's out there, the better there's a chance he'll be back. I think they do. They'd like to have him back, but again, yeah, they want to be very disciplined about it.
Well, and it's just another indication of one guy walks, next man up. We've got a guy. We've trusted our process.
And they do have a guy, yeah. They do have a guy.
It's not like you're going from Becton walking out the door and Nate Herbig, no offense to him, is the next guy waiting there. And that means you don't have to go if your guy's not there on draft day. You know, you already have a guy, even if your guy that you like does not fall to you in the draft. I think it's going to be interesting, though. You got 4 fifth-round picks. You got this Goddard thing still kind of looming. I would imagine in a couple hours he will not be here anymore.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
That's where Howie deserves some credit. I mentioned the list, and you can add Tyler Steen to it as well. You know, you trade Pickett McKee because you think McKee's ready. You let Gainwell walk because you think Shipley's ready. You let Sweat walk because you like the upside of Jalix Hunt. If you let Mekhi Becton walk, you have Tyler Steen. Milt Williams gets $26 million. We can't afford that. We got Moro Ojomo. Oren Burks, a great backup linebacker. We got Jeremiah Trotter Jr. This is from Howie's perspective. Darius Slay, they wanted to turn the page there to Kaylee Ringo. And then Sidney Brown at safety with CJ. They got a guy.
Yeah.
Now, are all those guys going to hit? Realistically, no. But you can legitimately have optimism about every name I just mentioned. And how many names was that? I think it was 8 names. That's
and most of those
that's
guys
foresight.
Most of those.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Guys have played enough, other than Trotter. Which is funny because I'm sure the fans probably are more excited about Trotter than anybody else just based on his name. But most of these guys have played enough that the Eagles have seen them in game action. It's not like a guy who just hasn't played at all and then you're just hoping based on the fact that you scouted and drafted. Most of these guys have played in actual, you know, games and had some runs based on injury. Sidney Brown started for this team a couple of years ago, you know, before he ended up getting hurt. Ringo has started games for this team and played a lot over the last couple of years. I do find it interesting. You know, I think they did want to get Rodgers back here and probably, you know, got to a point where here's the number and just got, you know.
2 years. Wants to get the 2 years with Rodgers and Burks.
Burks, yeah.
Yeah. Once it gets to 2 years, it becomes difficult because they project him as backup players. I think fans have to understand that. So you can say, well, what's $2.5 million? It's nothing if he's a starter. If he's a backup, that's pretty expensive. He played last year. Yeah.
Go look at one of those salary pages and just kind of scroll down, and you see the huge drop-off in these guys' salaries for guys who just, you know, are you know, player like 12 through 53 makes like no money. It's unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, Burks last year played on the veteran minimum, $1.125 million. There's the right there. That's what he played under last year for 1 year. That's a backup linebacker.
Yeah.
I mean, so I do think people get, and the assumption is N'Kobe's going to be back. He was already off crutches at cleanout day at the Super Bowl. He was already off crutches. So, you know, players tend to push things and they're not doctors and all that kind of stuff. But I have very little concern that he'll be back. It's nice to have a luxury like Oren Burks, and I would have liked to have had Oren Burks back, and he deserves all the credit because he was phenomenal in the postseason. Yeah. But once it gets to 2 years, that's really difficult for a backup player. Same thing with Isaiah Rodgers. I think a lot of people think because he was ahead of Ringo last year that he'd come in and be the starter. They don't project him as a starter because there's size issues.
McCollum was ahead of Brown last year. Is that because they just didn't think Brown was quite ready yet, or do they like McCollum better?
No. Oh, no. They like Sidney better. Sidney was hurt. Sidney did not. Yeah,
how much do they really like Sidney, though? They were in on Reed. I mean, you know?
No, they like Sidney a lot. They
I know, but if they were in on Reed, then they can't, right? They can't like him that
well,
much. If they liked him a lot, they'd be happy with having him starting. But if they're in on Reed, it shows you that they're
Is some concern over, like, honestly, he got hurt in week 18. I firmly believe if he didn't get hurt in his rookie, CJ wouldn't have even been brought back.
Interesting.
Now
that's right though, that his rookie year he got hurt at the very end. I remember
he started six games for this team his rookie season. He ended up getting hurt, but you know, they had to move it on. He was playing slot corner at times, but he is a different type of player than, I mean, Gardner Johnson's a ball hawking guy. Sidney Brown is like, he's like a Tasmanian devil. He's all over the place kind of guy.
And he needs to get more disciplined. But last year, the difference between now and then is you can't just assume he's going to be healthy because the rehab didn't go great. But if he is healthy and they think the extra year on tack of it, he'll be 100%. Then they want him to have the opportunity to compete. But it's the same thing with N'Kobe a little ways with coming off the injury. Yeah, bring in Devin White to compete. Now, again, I don't want to compare Justin Reed because if they signed Justin Reed, it would have been for multiple years. He would have been the starter. So I'm not going to sit here and say they're 100% that Sidney Brown's going to be their starting safety. But I do know they like him. They love him as a player. And they love him as a person, and that's a big deal with this organization. Red Star player, as they call it. Very few people get that designation as draft picks. Sidney got it. They like him. Now, I'm not going to say they're blind to the fact that there's not issues. And if you can get – they've loved Justin Reed as a safety for a long time. And I don't think anybody in that building would tell you Sidney Brown's better than Justin Reed right now. So they're also realistic. But again, they're going to be disciplined. And Justin Reed got to a number and they bowed out. Mm. You know, so how much do they love him? If you want to look at it that way. So it's always, you always need those contingencies and those backup plans.
Big time.
Yeah. What do you guys think? Do you guys think this is the end of not the end, but do you think another big name drop could be coming in terms of moving on from somebody that people don't want to move on from? I mean, John, you explained the cap thing or the cash cap thing pretty well. And I look to the future and think about some of these defensive guys. I know Howie doesn't typically spend much on defense compared to the offense, but you're not going to let Jalen Carter walk. You're probably not going to let Nolan Smith walk. You're certainly not letting Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell walk. Now, I know they're down the line, but they've spent so much cash up to this point. We don't think a trade for somebody big on offense could happen, do we?
Well, they don't really need anything on offense. If they made a trade
I mean, get rid of a guy, Mike. I mean, move on from somebody that's making a boatload of money to – you know.
Well, listen, the C.J. Gardner-Johnson thing came out of right field. I know, what was this, 2 weeks ago or whatever, you know, we were talking about A.J. Brown. If somebody called you and said, we'll help take some of that financial burden right off of you, I guess anything's possible. If they are that – if they are projecting that far down the road of what they might have to pay these guys and looking at what they have now to see how that could impede them, I guess – anything is possible, but I'd be pretty shocked because the way it sets up is I'm imagining they don't think they're, and while their defense was excellent, and we can all say that was maybe the reason why they won the game, I still think they view this team as an offensive driven team, and they have the core of their offense, Brown, Smith, Barkley, Hurts, Mailata, Dickerson. They're going to have Juergens, I would imagine. That's another guy. Remember, they have to sign him, extend him anyway. Lane Johnson, those guys are all, that's eight players, the core of your offense, for at least three more years together. So you're looking to me, this offseason has all been about, we have a three-year window with this core that we've got to try our best to let that core offense go for this thing, three more real legitimate prime cracks at this thing. And how are we financially going to do that? This is what's happening right now. Now, he might be doing too much all at one time. Like, did he have to do the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson thing this year right now? Probably not. But remember, that pick that he got was for a draft down the road. So he still has an eye on a couple of years of saying, I got to keep stocking people down the road too. So I think there's a little bit of a method to, hey, I put all the money in this offense, and I'm giving it three chances of the best 3 years that they have before they start to maybe hit that decline.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear what they believe of the offense versus the defense, even though the defense was better last year. Let's be honest.
Right. But do you agree better that they would say, we are offensively starved?
Oh, yeah.
Well, like, they don't really have a star. Jalen Carter is kind of emerging.
Yeah, into that. Jalen. Yeah, no question about it.
But if you were to ask people, who are the Eagles' stars? You know, it's Barkley, it's Brown, it's Smith, it's Hurts. I mean, some people might go to the offensive lineman before they start saying, oh, and they have Jalen Carter too.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Yeah. It doesn't make much sense, but because the defense was, you know, the one that nine drives in the Super Bowl, Mike Gill.
What I think is, I thought about this yesterday. What is amazing about this is the defense was so good, number one defense. And so many times when you have a team and it's like, well, it's really hard to win with rookies. They had two guys that were rookies. Nolan Smith was essentially, I mean, he did not play hardly at all as a rookie. Jalix Hunt, there's a guy that was playing safety in the Ivy League a couple of years ago. Look at the guys on the field. Zach Bond. Yes, he's a veteran player, but he's a rookie at that position. Think about how improbable it was to get what they got out of what they of who they had out there.
Well, that's a good point you bring up. So as improbable as that is, and if you said that before the season, I would have laughed at you. Everybody would have laughed at you. Said, oh, Quinion Mitchell, Cooper DeJean is going to be the best slot corner in football. Zach Bond is going to be a first-team All-Pro. You know, we would have chuckled at you. That's how improbable all that stuff was. So the Eagles fall in love with that and think they can do it again? Because
the ultimate – this is, you know, the irony here is Howie was the worst drafter. He's got to go. He makes so many mistakes. To now, he's hits on everything.
I know.
Like, it's like the extremes of this is, no, at some point, yes, he took Rieger. He could have taken Jefferson. He took J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. There was a lot of better options at that same exact time. He's took Andre Dillard. That didn't work. That and what has happened over the last three drafts, somewhere in the middle, it's going to start to merge where he gets one right, he doesn't get the other one right. You get the first round one wrong, the second round you get right. The fourth round guy hits, the third round guy misses. Like, that's generally how this works out. they have missed so many times in the past, and now they're hitting so much, you would have to imagine somewhere this will start to even back out to how a majority of teams draft very 50-50 as opposed to just hitting on everything.
Yeah, yeah. At Mike Gill Show, make sure you follow Mike on the X platform. Follow his YouTube page as well. That's at Mike Gill Show. Listen to him on the Sports Bash, 97.3 South Jersey locally, 2 to 6 every day. Spring training, getting excited. What are you heading to spring training?
Actually, yeah, next week I will not be here. I will be in Florida.
All right. So
unless you want to try to grab me earlier in the week, I'd be open to that. But I am flying out Tuesday afternoon to Clearwater. I will be down for 2 or 3 games down there, and looking forward to it. My favorite trip of the year. I go every – this is my 21st season going down there.
21st season. Not a bad place to be, Clearwater. Not it a bad place tremendous. To be.
No, yeah. Good place to be. Mike, how good do you think the Phillies are going to be this year?
95. I'm taking the over.
The over, but you guess what? I'm taking the under against the Dodgers.
I didn't say they're going to win the World Series. Dodgers.
Wild.
Here is my take on the 2025 Phillies rotation will be better than the 2011 Phillies rotation.
All right. Well, then they're good. Hey, they're going to be in a good position.
And they're going to rack up wins because their pitching is so good. You know, you're playing Pittsburgh on a Tuesday night in June when you've got one of those five guys pitching against the fifth guy on the Pirates rotation. Now, the Pirates might be better this year. I'm just picking a traditionally poor team.
Hey, and if you have good pitching, you could win a short series. Yeah, you never know what can happen.
Well, you could win short series, but the problem has been their offense has been, you know,
Dodgers. My God, Dodgers are a super team. We'll see how it shakes out. Injuries, everything.
You need a Phillies 365 show. I'm your man.
There you go.
All right, we'll try to get you early next week before you.
Yeah,
leave.
If you need me early.
The people love their Mike Gill. Listen to him locally, 2 to 6 Sports Bash.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. You can subscribe right there if you want more.
There you go. Woo-hoo. Great YouTube channel. Make sure you guys check him out. Go and follow Mike. Thank you, brother.
See you guys.
Thanks, bud.
Mike Gill joining us here on Birds 365. Well done by Mike. Great stuff there, Johnny Mack. I can't help but wonder if this is not the end. Adam Schefter was on Philadelphia radio this morning and said he would not be surprised if the Eagles shed more salaries. I don't know what that looks like. Maybe that just means Dallas Goedert. Maybe that means some of the business that we're expecting, but.
Oh, Adam said it. It's real now, people.
Yeah, it's so true. John's been telling you, but well, is more to come, John? I mean, you know.
Well, Dallas, I think now it's more likely that he leaves than stays. But there's some complications there because if you trade him pre-June 1st, I'd have to look up the cap hit. But from memory, it's over $9 million, I believe. Now, post-June 1st, it becomes much more manageable. But you got to wait. Obviously, they're going to use their two designations. And then the... The value comes down short term, but Howie's proven like he doesn't care if it's a 2026, 2027, like he'll take future picks. So I still think it's more likely Dallas leaves than returns. So that probably will upset some people. But yeah, it's about that demarcation line I spoke of, which is basically, you know, a good problem to have. Because when you're debating, those four players are a perfect example of what I'm talking about. The two players he lost in free agency, Milt Williams, Josh Sweat, C.J. Gardner-Johnson in the trade, and now Dallas Goedert potentially. Are those foundational pieces? Are they on the same level as the quarterback and the running back and the receivers and the offensive lineman and Jalen Carter and Zach Bond? The Eagles say no. A lot of fans might say this guy is of that four. This guy isn't. I think most people realize Bunny, because they got a ton of money. Most people are on board with Milton and Josh getting understanding. they don't seem to be on board as much with CJ and Dallas.
Well, I think they were the more surprising ones. You know, people were prepped for the other ones because they knew they were going to be free
agents. Maybe it's just prepared. Maybe.
Well, John, let me ask you real quick, because we have over 1,500 watching us right now on all of our platforms. Not everybody was in here at the start of the show. In your best 3 to 5 minutes.
I can't do it in 3 to 5 minutes.
I know, but just to go, why did the Eagles move on from CJ Gardner-Johnson? Because I don't know if everybody consumed everything that you said at the open. I know it's a pain in the ass to ask you to do, but I am going to ask you to do it.
Yeah, it takes too long, mainly. But I would take everybody, go to si.com/NFL/Eagles. You can read it. On how he's maintenance off season, but the boiled down point of it is cash over cap, not about just one move, not about the moment, not about that, about longer term, about a whole ranging philosophy. And what's going on is the Eagles know what's coming down the pike when it comes to players like Cam Jurgens probably is going to be first. And while we don't talk about Cam Jurgens. So I don't know if he's going to set the market at center, but he's going to be awfully close. He's going to be like Zach Bond. He's going to be top five at the bare minimum. His extension's coming. Jalen Carter's going to destroy the defensive tackle market. If everything continues to project the way the Eagles hope, they know they have to pay Nolan Smith significant money.
Yeah.
If everything down the road in 2 years goes the way they hope, they're going to have to pay Quinn. Have you seen the top corner money in the NFL this offseason? They're going to have to pay Quinyon Mitchell. They're going to have to pay Cooper DeJean, which is going to be more difficult. Where is he playing? What's it worth? How do you factor through that?
That went up too. Didn't a big slot corner get a big contract as well?
Did they?
I don't know why I'm blanking on the name. I thought a big slot cornerback got a big contract, almost $20 million a year.
Well, you saw what J.C. Horn got for and J.C. Horn has barely played.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. He's not, I mean.
Well, he's got a ton of talent. The Eagles loved him coming out, but he's been hurt for 2 of his 4 years. I mean, and he's getting $25 million a year and set the market at the cornerback position. So you see where that's going. So it's about more, you know, if you get hyper-focused on the moment in one move, it doesn't make a lot of sense. But as you heard, Adam evidently was on, it's about cash. The Eagles have spent a lot of cash over the past 10 years and really over the past 2 years, more cash than anybody else in the NFL. And that those chickens are coming home to roost a little bit, especially they have too many good players.
Yeah.
They have too many good players.
Kind of what I said to Mike. I'm like, this hurts more for Eagles fans because our roster is so good that you move on from, or you make typical roster management that most teams will make. You know, you're like, what the hell? We got rid of a great player. Yeah, well, our whole roster is pretty damn good. So you get rid of anybody, you know, you're like, you got rid of a good player.
Yeah, so when you got to pay all these guys all this money, you got to hope some of those young players hit. And Howie's alluded to that, and that's where we are. Whether it's high-profile guys, projected starters, or projected at least, or even backups like Tanner McKee and Will Shipley. But guys who are expected to compete, like Trotter would be in the backup category. But guys who are expected to compete for significant roles like Moro Ojomo, Jalix Hunt, Kaylee Ringo, Sidney Brown on defense. Bunch of those guys have to step up.
We'll see what ends up happening with this. A lot of turnover to come. John, another narrative that's permeating the online ether that I know you like to elevate the conversation on is like a guy like A.J. Brown. That doesn't make sense at this point because they've already given him the cash, right? So you're not really saving any cash by moving on from A.J. Brown. The cap hits don't make sense. Like, they're not going to move on from a guy like A.J. Brown right now, are they?
No, I don't think so. AJ, by the way, was there at Saquon's press conference. He was the only player there. Got to see AJ a little bit when Saquon signed on, what was that, Monday? Every day runs together. But I think a lot of it with AJ has to do with similar to some of the goofy social media stuff. I don't know what to say about that, but I don't think it's nearly like, I think AJ gets in trouble for telling the truth. Like, he got involved in the if you want to call it a dust up, I think Slay was just telling the truth. Reed's the leader in the secondary. He was just telling the truth. And then CJ, there was a little bit of a back and forth, not from Slay's perspective. Yeah. And then AJ kind of chipped in. But it might have been about, I don't know. I try to stay away from that stuff, but I think it has more to do with that.
But I didn't get what AJ was saying. Like, Darius Slay says something on a podcast, which he's entitled to do. CJ Gardner-Johnson gets emotional and takes it a certain way, which he's entitled to do. The fans react to what the two players did, and then AJ Brown chimes in out of left field. The Eagles community is so messy. I don't think so, bro. I think it was the players that were a little messy, and we reacted to it. That's what we do. We're fans. We look at what the players do. I thought that was stupid that AJ Brown chimed in on that.
Well, I had this discussion with AJ numerous times. I mean, it's happened numerous times. He verbalizes it. He knows he's got to stop doing it, but it's tough to do, I guess.
I get it. It wins. Let's get to a couple super chats here, Johnny Mac, before we get to
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.